I think this whole conference is about a single question. The question is, who gets to lead God's church? And the correct answer is, thank you. Yeah, this is not saying elders get to lead God's church. The correct answer is Jesus. Like, it's always a question if you grew up in Sunday school in Southern Baptist Church. Every answer is Jesus, right? And so, but really the question is, like, 1 Peter 5, the chief shepherd, like, we serve under him. And any leadership has to fall underneath that. But that leads to a second question that I want you to ponder. Has he told us how that's supposed to happen? Or is it just whatever leadership structure you want? And I think the main argument is that there's actually amazing clarity in Scripture about things that we got fuzzy on through our history as Baptists, and really fuzzy on in the church as a whole. All kinds of different models came forward, but those models were not rooted in Jesus saying, I lead my church, here's how. And in the New Testament, there are two roles. There's pastor and deacon, right? I grew up in the home of a Baptist deacon. My dad was a deacon in the church from the time I was earliest age, and then serving, and we planted 15 years ago, so we started with the DNA we're talking about here. So I didn't have to lead a church through change in this, and I know that is major, but we started with the DNA of plurality of elders and what deacons look like in our church and things like that, but rooted in deep study of Scripture, reading a lot. Strock's book that you guys got, a part of that today, was formative, along with Gene Getz's book, Elders and Leaders, and Nine Mark stuff and all that kind of stuff. But my experience in those churches is that you had this group of people that were called deacons, okay? So here's these deacons. And if you read the New Testament and you read the language, like if you go back to the Greek, the word deacon literally means a servant. That's what the word means, okay? So what we have is these people who are biblically defined, and the title is deacon, is servant. And here's what happens in the churches. My experience doesn't mean it's yours. My experience is this, that you had a group of men, and you walk up to them and say, well, what do you do in the church? And they would say, I'm a deacon, which being translated means I'm a servant. And then the next question is, well, what do you do as a deacon? And the answer is, well, our main job is to hold a meeting once a month. Wait a minute, hold on. Like, there's incongruity in that. And our job when we hold a meeting once a month in a lot of churches is to hold the pastor in check. And what's happened in a lot of churches is that we now have a hybrid role that is elders. Okay? Now, I get to go home today, so if I offend y'all, I'm sorry, but there we go, all right? So you have this hybrid role who believes they have often the authority of the elders with very little of the responsibility of the elders. And there's a breakdown there. And so the New Testament actually lays out some things for us that speak to us. Man, I can't do an exegetical study, but I will start in Acts chapter 6, just if you understand this. The word deacon is actually used 29 times in 27 verses in the New Testament. In all but three and maybe four, the word is translated just a servant, someone who is serving, and often in an official role. This is a servant in the household of so-and-so. Only three, maybe four times is it used to address the title, the church leadership role of deacon, and that is, two of them are in 1 Timothy 3. You have the greeting in Philippians 1, and the possibility of the feminine use of the noun in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, in addressing this woman, Phoebe, who, depending on how you see it, was a deaconess or just a servant in the church. And those are the only four times. Every other time in the New Testament, when you find this Greek word, it is just translated servant. But we transliterated because we weren't sometimes sure what to do with it. And so Acts 6, I do believe, is the formation of this idea where they have a massive problem in a church, and that is the fact that they have a crisis, and the elders are either going to be pulled off task, the calling that, and especially here the apostles, or they're going to come up with a way to serve the church effectively. And this is what it says, Acts 6, 1 through 4. Those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And there's a lot actually in that verse that I'm not going to go into, but there's a conflict in the church over which Jewish Christian widows were being cared for by the care systems of this early church that had started with 120 people and now is over 10,000 people. And so Verse 2, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to the duty. And then it talks about verse 4. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so there is a division. We're going to have some men who's dedicated, their mission is prayer and the ministry of the word. And you have other men who are waiting tables, or in other words, they are going to lead the systems to serve people who are in need. That's the basic division right there. And I do hold that this is not necessarily the full idea of deacon, but this is where the idea starts, of two different roles in the church. And so I think what we have to wrestle with is what is going on here in the rest of the New Testament. And I want to share what I think are 4 differences in the roles. You may disagree with me, that's cool, but 4 differences I think that are actually in this text, others. I can't go to all of them, would love to talk to you about where I found the ideas here, but here's the first difference. There's a difference in purpose. There's a real difference in the text and the purpose of these roles, where the elders have the ministry of the word and prayer. That is central to what they are doing. They are leading the church by preaching, by teaching, by upholding doctrine, leading in church discipline, which is part of the ministry of the word. That is their core idea. Or at Genesis, the church I have, we define it like this, that elders are responsible for the dream, daily care, doctrine, and discipline. Nice alliterate, like a Baptist, right? Those 4 things are central to the role of elder. Deacons, on the other hand, they are put in a place to support the elders so that they can keep their laser focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. The deacons are to come in and be the servants who make the stuff that has to happen so that care in the church takes place. And so you end up with this purpose where the basic purpose is not to govern or lead, it is to serve and care. Where the elders, so kind of put it like this, in a real way, elders' primary role is to lead with their lips. And deacons' primary way of serving is to be the leaders with their hands and their feet. Okay? Which, like I said, my heritage is, you're a deacon, what do you do? We meet. There's a disconnect there. Second thing I'll tell you is I think there's a difference in requirement. And to be honest with you, it's not much. I will point 1 in a possible second real quick. But as you read 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says, deacons and elders, what are the requirements? The first thing you notice is they're almost all about character. We're looking for godly men who love their wives, who love their kids, who are filled with the Spirit, who are passionate about the ministry of the church, and who are above reproach. We're not looking for the person who gets the most votes because he's the most popular man in the church. Okay? And so in that, there is 1 requirement for elders that is not listed for deacons, and that is the requirement of being able to teach. That's it. In other words, both the deacons and the elders in a church should be the type of man, and I'll hint at something in just a second, but type of person in your church, type of man, that when you sit down with your little girl when she's 6 years old, she goes, Daddy, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to marry a man, and who should I look for? You can look at any deacon or any elder at your church and say, go find a dude like that. Go find a dude like that. And you are reproducing the model of biblical love for wife and Christ and all that sort of stuff in the men who are leading. Now, here's the hint. I'm going to kick the tire and then get out of the way. I'm not going to deal with it. The other possible difference, I believe, that you could come at with really honest biblical textual study is the possibility that women might be able to serve in the role of deacon. And so wrestle with that on your own, come to your conclusion, but do it by actually wrestling with the text and not because there was a document at some point in time that said we don't ordain these people. Figure out what the scripture says, and the question is, does 1 Timothy 3:11 address the wives of deacons, or is it addressing women serving in the role of deacon? There's the argument. I'm not going to unpack that anymore, but beyond that, we're looking for people of character, who their faith is contagious. Third difference you see is a difference in authority, and this is significant. What happens is you begin to see Jesus handing his authority through the word of God to a specific group of people, and this is the pastors or leaders in the church. And there is a weight that is placed on the shoulders of the elders. They're required to lift that weight up and bear it. And it is the weight of the life of every sheep in the congregation. And that weight comes with the warning that if you don't do it well, you will stand before Christ. Right? And then there's a commission to the church to follow those guys. And that weight, that call and that warning of judgment and the call to the church, since the deacons are not addressed, you need to understand that the deacons are now the rest of the church in that situation. There's a clear, under Christ and the Holy Spirit, call. And this is what I was talking about earlier, is that a lot of times deacons have stepped in a place where they carried the authority. They are not bearing that weight. And that's where the breakdown happens. Actually, where the breakdown happens, because you expect your pastor to be a chaplain who loves everybody, but he does not have the right to lead. And now we got a major issue in the church, I think, where Jesus is no longer leading the church as he's prescribed. And so, difference in authority. Last thing I'll say is the difference in ministry. The deacons were to be serving. It doesn't mean elders don't, but that was the thing. Or in other words, here's the way we will say it at our church. If a deacon ain't deacon, he shouldn't be a deacon. If a servant is not serving, he shouldn't have the title. And so the bottom line is, the way you know somebody is a deacon is if they're already serving. Somebody who's clamoring for power, man, don't put those people in this role. Find the people whose their hands and their feet are already dirty. And then I do believe that there's proof that in the New Testament, the deacons does become a training ground for the men who will become elders. By the way, I do firmly believe in male eldership as a complementarian in the church, but those are sort of things. And so I think those are the main things. Like I said, at Genesis, that elders lead dream, doctrine, daily care, discipline. That's the role, the weight that we care for the people that we shepherd. Our deacons at our church are under the authority and the leadership of the elders. Every deacon at Genesis also has a specific elder. They have a specific ministry they are fulfilling, where they are serving. And that ministry is always under the leadership of a very specific elder who has oversight over these systems and structures. That's kind of how we do it. But that's the differences, in my opinion. So God bless y'all. Thank you.